The tendency is often for our zeal to die out. And instead of crossing the finish line, busting the tape with our arms high and wide, we content ourselves to allowing someone else to carry us. Paul addressed this in Romans when he said, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." In the book of Deuteronomy, which is our fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Israel is just outside the border to the land of promise. They're about to enter the land that God had promised to give to them. The book of Deuteronomy is a series of messages that Moses is giving to the people of God. He's instructing them as they are moving forward into their next chapter in their history for their next 40 years. They were being instructed in God's word, from God's word. They were instructed in matters of worship, in matters of community living, in practical matters of faith. Deuteronomy looks at the history of Israel for them to understand. Deuteronomy instructs them in their lives of faith as they go forward, because in matters of faith, every generation has to begin again. That, in essence, is the message of Deuteronomy. And we are all faced with the challenges that the people of God were faced with as they were getting ready to open this next chapter in their lives. Moses was calling them as they were ready to take this next step, to open this next chapter in the book of their lives of faith. He was calling them to wholehearted, full-bodied, covenant commitment and faithfulness. That's what he was calling them to. You're going to cross over into this land. You're going to go through this river Jordan. You're going to go into this promised land. There are going to be conflicts, but I'm going to give it to you. I want you to understand where you've come from, but more importantly, based on that, I want you to see where you're going. Now, the section of Deuteronomy that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at chapter 8 this morning. Chapter 8 is set within a section. The section begins in chapter 6, verse 4, and it goes to the end of chapter 8. And it is in that section that Moses is calling the people of God to this wholehearted, full-bodied covenant commitment and faithfulness. Now, chapter 6 tells us that this commitment call is going to be tested. And in chapter 7, we see where this testing is going to come from. It's going to primarily come from a group of people called the Canaanites. And the question at stake is, are my people going to be faithful to me? That's the question that is over chapter 6, 7, and 8 in the book of Deuteronomy. And chapter 7 tells us that the enemy is out there. Chapter 8 tells us that the enemy is in here. It's in our hearts. You see, Moses is addressing a major concern that each and every one of us face as we get ready to take the next step into a new chapter of our walk with God. And this is the danger. Moses addresses, Ajith Fernando writes this, Moses addresses this problem in Deuteronomy 8. He uses the figure of forgetting God to describe the danger that we face. Let me show you. Look at chapter 8, verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord. Verse 14. Then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Look at verse 19. And if you forget the Lord your God. Forgetting God. That's That's the danger that we all face. It's recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Again, I've been reading a little bit in the writings of Soren Kierkegaard, and he nails it when he says this. What really counts in life is that at some time you have seen something, felt something, which is so great, so matchless, that everything else is nothing by comparison. That even if you forgot everything, you would never forget this. Deuteronomy 8 is a call to remember and never forget what really counts, what really matters. So how do we take Deuteronomy 8 and apply it to Community Bible Church in our second 40 years of history? Here it is. I've sort of boiled down chapter 8 to this. How to avoid the danger of forgetting the Lord as we move forward into our next 40 years as Community Bible Church. So how do we avoid the danger, the real and the present danger of forgetting the Lord as we move forward into our next 40 years as Community Bible Church? Let me read the text. Chapter 8, verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out. Your foot did not swell these 40 years. That'd be great to know, wouldn't it? Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways, by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forgot the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. Who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let me pray for a moment. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable and honorable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how can we avoid the danger of forgetting the Lord as we move forward into our next 40 years at Community Bible Church? Number one, we need to be careful to obey. This text is really quite clear. Enjoyment of life in the land for the people of God was contingent. It was contingent upon them following the word of the Lord and living in obedience to it. Let's not get away from that. Let's not ever move away from the fact that when God speaks, that settles it. I want you to look at the text for just a moment. Look up at verse 1. There is a phrase that is used 65 times in the book of Deuteronomy. It is the phrase, be careful. Pay careful attention to something. 65 times. By the way, if God says it once, that is enough to grab our attention. In this book, he has said that phrase, be careful to do something that he says, be careful, pay careful attention, give careful attention to this. He has said this 65 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone. You think God meant what he said? He spoke, and he spoke repeatedly, in that he called them to this life of obedience. This life, it was like the life of Mary in John's Gospel chapter 2. When the servants were wondering, Lord, why are you asking us to fill these barrels up with water? Jesus, knowing he was going to turn that water into wine. And Mary's words to the servants that day were very simple. Whatever he says to you, do it. Five missionaries on one early Sunday morning in Ecuador were slaughtered by the Alca Indians. One of those missionaries' names was Nate Saint. And one of the there's a statement that Nate Saint said. And he said this. He said his life never really came together until he came to grips with this one fact. Obedience is not a momentary option. It is a die-cast decision made beforehand. I am going to do this, and I make that decision ahead of time. I'm not making this decision as I move through the challenges. I'm not making this decision as I'm moving through the issues of life. I'm making it here. And then as I move forward, that's going to govern my steps. That's also going to govern my stops. That is so true. We don't decide in the moment to be obedient. We decide beforehand. Why do you think over 65 times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is calling the people of God to that kind of obedience? Here's why, because selected obedience really is no obedience at all. It's merely convenience. He's calling them, well, here's what he's calling them to. Because when God puts a period, we are never to change it to a question mark. If we want to move forward as believers who are committed to the cause of the gospel, are committed to learning from our 40 years of faithful history at Community Bible Church, and then moving forward, not forgetting God, we need to be committed to this. We need to be committed to be careful to obey God in all that he says. By the way, do you know the essence of forgetting God? Look at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord. Look at the next word, by not keeping his commandments. The essence of forgetting God is to disobey his commandments, is to live in a way that is not in obedience to his word. Community Bible Church, my challenge to you going forward is this. Be careful to obey. Number two, remember the times of testing. Remember the times of testing. Don't try to ignore them. Don't try to slough them off. Don't try to just hide them in the back closet like we do sometimes with the struggles that we go through. No, remember them. They've just come through 40 years in the wilderness. By the way, that's the context of the testing. It's the wilderness. It's the desert. The word desert here, or wilderness, has to do with an uninhabitable place. There's food there, but it's not sustainable. There is some water there, if you can find it, but certainly not enough. That wilderness, in and of itself, is going to leave you dry, it's going to leave you starving, and it's going to leave you empty. Old Testament scholar Peter Craigie speaks about this test. Listen to what he says. The wilderness test tested and disciplined the people in various ways. On the one hand, the desolation of the wilderness removed the natural props and supports which man by nature depends upon. It cast the people back on God, who alone could provide the strength and survival for the wilderness. On the other hand, the severity of the wilderness period undermined the shallow basis of confidence of those who were not truly rooted and grounded in God. Listen to this. The wilderness either makes or breaks a man. It provides strength of will and character. The strength provided by the wilderness, however, was not the strength of self-sufficiency, but the strength that comes from a knowledge of the living God. That time in the wilderness for the people of Israel was partly because of their rebellion, and we know that. They had a much shorter course to get where they had to go, but instead for those 40 years they spent wandering. Yeah, that's true. But there's also another side of that in which the wilderness was a part of God's purpose for them. That first 40 years was a time of testing where God was going to, here we go, he was going to lead them. He was going to show them each step of the way, which way to go. He was going to humble them. He was going to cause them to hunger. He was going to cause them to go through times when it was lean. And then what he was going to do? He was going to step in and he was going to provide for them miraculously. Has God not done that for Community Bible Church these past 40 years? Has he not led us? Has he not directed us through times that maybe we didn't see the end in sight? Has he not humbled us when we're brought to a place in which we realize, no, Lord, my wisdom really isn't all that great? And he's brought us kind of to an end of ourselves? Hasn't he at times caused us to hunger? Hasn't he brought us through times of leanness and then on the other side of that fed us? That's what God does. And those are times of testing. All right, we need to take a little bit of a manna break. Because in the wilderness, God fed the people of Israel with manna. This is found in Exodus 16. Let me tell you a couple things about manna. Actually, seven or nine of them. Let me tell you a few things from Exodus chapter 16. Manna, we are told, came from heaven. Manna is described as lachem, meaning either bread or food. It was flaky, like one of those flakies that Vashon Cakes puts out, maybe, I'm thinking, okay? It was the residue, actually, that was left over after the dew at the dawn. So they would wake up, they would look outside, and there was manna all over the place. It is described as being like frost on the ground in Exodus 16, verse 14. You know what happened if you kept it overnight? The next morning it was crawling with maggots. Kind of a disgusting image, isn't it? However, if on the eve of the Sabbath you kept it until the Sabbath, it was fine, because they didn't go out and gather on the Sabbath. If you left it out in the hot sun, it melted. It was described as being white like coriander seed in verse 31. It tasted like wafers and honey. Any of you who were in Israel with us, remember the baklava? Maybe something like that. And we are told in Numbers 11, verse 7, that it looked like bdellum. What's bdellum? Bdellum was an aromatic tree gum. That's kind of what it looked like. I don't know, maybe it looked like that. That looks, I don't know, somewhat tasty. When the people went out, when they saw it for the first time, I'm going to teach you some Hebrew for just a moment. They went out and they looked at it and they went like this. Man who. That's what they said. Man who. Say that. Man who. You know what that means? What is it? And so it actually became known as manna. Here's what I think they would have said if they walked outside today. Really. It was like a whatchamacallit. They had no idea what this was. It was a miracle food. They had never heard of it. They had never seen it. And God gave it to them to test their faith. He did. This was a test. This was a test. Just how faithful are my people going to be to me? Are they really going to believe that I am going to step in and provide for them every day? That's really the test. Are we really going to believe that God is going to step in and provide for us every day? Remember the tests of God. Remember how he brought us to places of maybe leanness or personal struggle. And how we wake up and new every morning we look out and we say, whatchamacallit? Oh yeah, manna. Do you know why God does this? Look down at verse 3. He humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The tests of God in our lives are intended to drive us back to God. They're intended to drive us back to God's word. They are intended to show us that we are all in the wilderness and that the resources that we can find in the wilderness are completely and utterly insufficient. And it is unthinkable, and it will kill you as a believer if you try to find your resources outside of God and his word. Here's why. Deuteronomy 32:47. These words, these instructions are not empty words. They are your life. And that's what the tests are intended to do. They are intended to draw us back to God and to His Word. Remember the times of testing. Remember them. Number three, remember to praise the Lord for His blessings. Don't leave that out. Look down at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And then he goes on to list all of these great things that are there. You got brooks and fountains and springs and valleys, and you're going to have a Chick-fil-A in Toronto. God's bird, by the way, especially at Chick-fil-A. There's going to be one somewhere in Toronto. Somebody sent me a note this week that said that there are a group of vegans that are protesting. You know what my response was? Let them protest. We eat pig here. And chicken. Oh man, they've got everything in it that they need. Fountains and springs, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. That's where they're going. That's where God's bringing them. You will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. There's mining opportunities, and you shall eat and be full, or very literally, you shall eat and be satisfied. And in the midst of all of that satisfaction, bless the Lord. That's the key verb in this little section. You shall bless the Lord for the good land that He has given you. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget in your testing, in your moving into your new chapter, don't forget to look back, to count your blessings, and then bless the Lord for them. It was Brother Lawrence who actually worked as a kitchen helper in a monastery. And he wrote a little booklet every Christian should read called The Practice of the Presence of God. Any of you ever read it? It's a great little book. Look what he says. What can God have that gives Him greater satisfaction than that 1,000 times a day all His creatures should thus pause to withdraw and worship Him in heart? What he's saying is, don't forget God, but instead praise Him for His blessings. It reminds us to be dependent upon Him for His provision. And that as a result of His provision, we do not live with an attitude of presumption, but rather we live lives of thankfulness and praise to Him. That's really how we move forward and don't forget the Lord. Don't get so caught up in our experiences and our needs and our stuff, but rather we say, you know, whatever we have is because God's provided it. Look over for just a moment to verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Yep, you worked for it, but who gave you the strength to work for it? Who gave you the very breath to work for it? So we remember, we don't forget to give praise to God for His blessings. And lastly, this is an interesting one. It's found in verses 11 to 20. Boy, some TV preachers should really read this. Did I just say that out loud? I did. Beware of prosperity. That's not me so much talking, that's verses 11 to 20 talking. We need to beware of prosperity. Listen to the words of William Bates, 1625. The experience of all ages has verified that none are exposed to more dangerous trials than the prosperous. Yep. Not 1625, but John Piper writes these words. Surprising to us, perhaps, Jesus' demand for vigilance is directed more often at the pleasures of life than at the pain. Some people are driven away from God by their pain, but more are lured away by their pleasures. Pleasures seldom awaken people to their need for God. Pain often does. And then one commentator, 1892, guy's name was Wolfendale. Prosperity renders the heart insensible when we should be grateful. Wow. Prosperity renders the heart insensible when we should be grateful. And then our good friend Charles Haddon Spurgeon. None of us personally, but you almost feel like you know the man. Speaking about John Wesley. Wesley used sometimes to fear that Christianity was self-destructive. For when a man becomes a Christian, the blessings of this life are his. He begins to rise in the world. He leaves his old position behind him. And alas, too often with increasing riches, forgets the God who gave him all. In that land, there was a great danger to the people of God. And the great danger was looking at all of the blessings that God has given them and say, look what I did. Or look what we did. Look at our strength. Look at our prowess. Look how cool we are. Look how strong we are. Look how united we are. Look how, fill in the blank. In pride, we sometimes give the impression that the blessings are here because of our ingenuity and prowess. In our pride, sometimes we feel that we are irreplaceable. In pride, we feel that this actually is our church anyway, not his. Francis Schaeffer used to say that people build a roof over themselves to protect themselves from facing the rays of truth that confront them. We do that all the time, don't we? We build a roof over ourselves to prevent ourselves from facing the rays of truth that confront us. We don't like those rays of truth. In the latter part of Deuteronomy 8, there is a serious warning here. It's a serious warning. You forget God. You go and do things your own way. The words are strong. You will perish from out of the land. Pretty strong words. They almost sound like these from Revelation 3. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, here he's talking to the church at Laodicea. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's the church at Laodicea. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. That's what's going on in Deuteronomy 8. That's the warning in Deuteronomy 8. I'm rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not realizing, here's what he says, you're naked, rich, wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Spitting out of the mouth doesn't sound like a very promising image, does it? Kind of sounds like you will perish from out of the land. It also sounds like this from Revelation 2, verse 5 to the church in Ephesus. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. So that's really remembering and understanding our past. If not, I will come to you and I will, he says this to a church now, I will remove your lampstand from its place. What does it mean that a church would have their lampstand removed? It means no more anniversaries. No more new parking lots. No more signs. No more wonderful picnics. It gets real when we say it like that, doesn't it? That's what it means to have a lampstand removed. And folks, don't think it can't happen to Community Bible Church. There is no guarantee that any church, not even this church, will make it to the end of another 40 years. The warning here is an incredibly real one. So, what does forgetting God look like? And that's the very danger that we don't want to fall into. Forgetting God looks like this. It's that our obedience becomes selective. In the choices and the decisions we make as a church, sometimes there is a temptation to allow our choices and our decisions to become selective and not follow clearly what God says in His Word. We need to be careful of that. We need to be a church. And I'm saying this to each and every one of us. Not just you, I'm saying it to myself. I'm saying it to our elders. I'm saying it to our founders and our newbies. As a church family going into our second 40 years, we dare not become selective in our obedience. We need to be a church that obeys Christ clearly and firmly. We need to do this in areas of our church governance. We need to do this in areas of our relationships. Matthew 18 tells us that when there's an issue between ourselves and a brother or sister in Christ, you know what we need to do, first of all? We need to go to that person. It doesn't always happen, does it? And if we are selective in our obedience in that, then we will end up assaulting and attacking each other. And the very dangers that we read of in Revelation 2 and 3, and the very dangers that we read of in Deuteronomy 8 can be very real for us. Because our obedience then becomes selective, not careful. Number two, forgetting God looks like, this is what it looks like. The testing that we have been faced with breeds bitterness rather than trust. God's testing is intended to humble us and to show us what's in our hearts, and it is to lead us to obedience. Our tendency, however, is to get angry. Our tendency is to get bitter. Our tendency is at times to just walk away. It is at those very times that we need to lean in hard on our church family. We do. We need to be going to people. We need to be speaking to people. We need to be embracing people. We need to not only be offering help, but we need to be asking for help. In the midst of our testing, in the midst of our struggles, don't dare try to do this alone. There are two things you can't do alone in this world. One is be married, and two is be a Christian. Number three, we forget to give God regular praise for His blessings. See, folks, sometimes praise, worship becomes hit and miss. When we're needy, we are there, we are here. And boy, can we pray when the times are tough. We really seek God. But when the crisis is over and we're kind of on easy street, we get a little bit of spiritual amnesia. Hey, what was the problem anyway? And we forget all about it, and we forget to give God regular praise for His blessings. Don't do that. Over this month, as we take time and think about all of the blessings that God has poured out on Community Bible Church, whether it's in the little house in Granton, whether it's in the school down off of Highbury, And I just even found out yesterday that we used to have the offices down at the Pioneer gas station. Near the Pioneer gas station anyway. That was cool. And as we think about all of those blessings, don't forget to give God the thanks. Number four. We allow his blessings to produce pride instead of gratefulness. Don't do that. As we look at the blessings of God, yeah, and even the struggles, help it to turn us back to that we don't live by bread alone, we don't live by just that physical sustenance that we have, but by every word and promise that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we turn our thankfulness away from bitterness to him for his gracious provision. Deuteronomy 8. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years. Looking forward to the next 40 in his gracious plan. Lord, today, help us to remove the roof of any barriers that would cause this truth not to hit us directly in the heart. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to what you are doing right here. Thanking you, Lord, for your work in Community Bible Church. And Lord, use us, each and every one of us, going forward as we are part of writing that next chapter in the next 40 years. Amen.